Okay, let's turn to Psalm 34 with some of the most fantastic promises in the whole Bible. Promises we quote all the time, and so many of them coming from one psalm. Amazing. And so we'll be looking right away at that. Now, first of all, I'd like to give you an introduction to Psalm 34 because it is quite an amazing introduction. If you'll notice in your little introduction clause, if you do have that in your Bible, it says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now, I want you to notice the word Abimelech there, okay? Notice that word, because this is actually talking about his encounter with a king called Achish, the king of Gath, a Philistine city. And so we wonder and ask the question, why does it say Abimelech in the introduction to the psalm when the encounter was actually with a man named Achish? Well, very simple. Abimelech is really a title of a king. It's kind of like the pharaohs of Egypt. And so when we read Pharaoh, we know that there's all kinds of different pharaohs, all different men. And so when you read Abimelech, you're reading the head of the city of Gath, and his name is Achish. So that's settled. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 21 and look at the situation that David was in when he wrote this psalm. 1 Samuel 21, that's back in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 21, and starting at verse 10. Now it says that David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, or Abimelech, the title of Achish, the king of Gath, and Gath again being a Philistine city. Now David this time was running from King Saul, and so he had troubles on the left hand and troubles on the right. He ran actually for 15 years from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And so he's running from Saul, and he ran down to the Philistines, which were the enemies of Israel, to this king Achish. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Didn't they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? If you remember, after David killed Goliath, he got very famous in Israel, and Saul got very jealous of him, and that's why Saul wanted to kill him, for Saul was the king. But the fair maidens of the land, all the young girls, were singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but oh, David his 10,000s, you know. So that is how the jealousy developed. But here David realizes that he's recognized. And here he's in enemy territory, and he's recognized as a hero of Israel. So he doesn't know what to do now to get out of this mess, because he fears he's going to die. Well, let's go on. It says now, David laid up these words in his heart, verse 12, and was very afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And so what he did, he decided to fake like he was crazy. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned or faked himself mad or crazy in their hands. And so he scrabbled on the doors of the gate, you know, just kind of going, weird, you know. And he let his spit fall down upon his beard. I'm not going to do that for you. But I mean, he just went Lulu in front of them. Then said Achish to his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Why have you brought him to me? And so have I need of madmen that you brought me this fellow to play the madmen in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And so then David was cast out. And so at the end then of this experience where David faked that he was crazy and fearing for his life, was cast out. Now, whenever I read this, and I've actually taught it this way when I went through 1 Samuel, that David should have trusted God and not been afraid, and that he shouldn't have done this to fake like a madman. I never considered that it might be the Lord. But here as we read Psalm 34, we begin to see there might be another side to this story that the Lord sometimes uses strange and weird ways to get you out of trouble. Because as we see afterwards, David somehow in his heart recognizes the Lord's deliverance through this, and that God just brought him through this horrible experience. And so let's go back to Psalm 34 then and take a look at what he says about all this. He just begins to praise God when he was cast out of there. And you know, it could have been that the Lord just laid that idea on his heart. You never know. But he begins to just bless the Lord. In chapter 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I can just picture him kind of wiping away the spittle from his mouth to say, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. So he's telling us that he sought the Lord in this situation. And he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Thought Saul was going to kill him, then he thought Achish was going to kill him. But God delivered him from all of his fears because he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. And now, this is a song. Many of you know it. So let's go ahead, those that know this song, and let's sing it together. And maybe some of you can pick up on it the second time. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Okay, let's do it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. Is that the truth? That's the truth. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. God does deliver us from all of our fears. Now, I'd like to go through the blessing scriptures before we get in to going verse by verse here. The first one, of course, is verse 4 that we just read. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When we're in fear, this is where to go. Seek the Lord. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let's go to verse 6 for another wonderful promise. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of some of his troubles. No, that's not what it says. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. Now, is that a promise for you? Does God lie?
No.
No. Can you claim this promise? Yes. You can get delivered from all of your troubles through the Lord God Almighty. And when we wake up on the other side, there won't be one trouble to be found, no matter how hard you look for it. Oh, yes. And so there's another great promise in this psalm. Now let's go to verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. That happens sometimes with younger lions that don't know quite how to get their feet under themselves yet and hunt. And so they'll suffer hunger sometimes. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so those that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. I always love the testimony, I love to share it, about a missionary that was captured in on one of the islands in the South Pacific by the Japanese, and during World War II. And he was put in a prison cell, and there was lots of hunger at the time. Even the soldiers, the Japanese soldiers, didn't have enough to eat. And so the missionaries didn't get much food given to them in a day. And he believed so much in the Lord about God's provision. And while he was in that prison cell, every single day, a chicken would come by his window and lay an egg. And the egg would roll down this long cement thing, and it would break on the way down usually, and he would be able to reach up and scoop the egg into his mouth. And the Lord brought that chicken by every day. Now, maybe it was more than one chicken, because I don't know how many chickens lay eggs and how long they do lay eggs, but this is what the testimony was, that God provided for him miraculously. And there were many widows in Israel in the days that God fed the widow of Zarephath through the prophet Elijah. Yes, but Jesus said that, he was talking to the folks that wouldn't believe him. He could not do many mighty miracles in his own town because of their unbelief. But the widow of Zarephath, a Gentile woman, was able to actually receive the blessing of the oil, the blessing of being fed and taken care of. And so we need to claim promises, don't we? We need to stand on God's word when things look really hard and so forth. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, as the Lord is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Now let's go to verse 17. And it says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So just in case we didn't believe it the first time, he has it twice in the same psalm. The righteous cry. And how are we righteous? Through Christ. Our righteousness only comes through him and by him. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I guess many of us could raise our hands on that. You go through many afflictions in your life. Yes, you will. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. There it is again. The troubles come, the afflictions come, but the Lord delivers that person that is righteous before God and Jesus Christ out of every one of them. And so that promise in verse 19. Now, the last one, verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Many times you might in your life want to say desolate things about yourself. I'll never be any good. Or you'll find yourself in a situation where you want to say with the children of Israel in the wilderness, you have brought me out here to die. Have you ever felt that way? I really have. And not too long ago. I'm ashamed to say it. You know, I've been a pastor for 30 years and not too long ago. But none that trust in him shall be desolate. Meaning the coming to nothing kind of thing. No. He hasn't brought you out here to die. He's brought you out here to live and to live more abundantly until he comes and gets you and you live forever. Glory to God. These are the things that we see in the Bible. Look at all of these wonderful promises in one chapter in the Bible, Psalm 34. If you're ever feeling like you need to have some promises to grab, have some promises to stand on in the Word of God, you can't hardly go wrong in Psalm 34. You got a mess of them right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 unbelievable promises that we need to believe in Jesus' name and become like the widow of Zarephath and become like those that receive the things that God has for them and not to go on in unbelief or complaining and murmuring like the children of Israel or considering that God has brought you somewhere to die. No, he's brought you there to live and to live in the abundant way with him. And so it's a very, very beautiful psalm that way. Now with that then, let's go ahead back to verse 5 and read down through verse 7. It says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. Now, as I read these three verses for studying for this Bible study, and I'm really blessed that Kathy sang her Christmas song tonight and the band sang the Christmas song tonight for us, because I also want to refer back to the Christmas story in just these verses right here. And so we are blessed with the things said here really refer to those that are looking to the Lord, those that love the Lord, and there was many people that were looking to the Lord and loved the Lord in the Christmas story. And so I want to make some connections here. Okay, first of all, we want to observe the shepherds. We want to read verse 7 and think about the shepherds abiding by their flocks by night when the angel came and spoke to them, and they went to Bethlehem to the manger scene, which is right here, to worship the Lord and see Joseph and Mary and the baby. And so verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. Now they saw their deliverer that night. And we have almost the same words used in Luke, chapter 2, verse 9. And you're probably very familiar with that, where it says, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And that's referring to the angels coming to the shepherds in the shepherds' fields. And so I don't think it's any accident that here in Psalm 34, we have words that sound so similar to what we know the angels came and the shepherds experienced with the angels coming to them. Now, there's a very deep, beautiful nugget in this parallel, because in verse 7 of Psalm 34 here it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. Now, here, if you'll notice in your Bible, and you might even have a footnote, that the angel of the Lord here is capitalized, L-O-R-D in capitals, meaning that this is what's known in the Bible as a theophany or a Christophany, meaning that this is Jesus Christ, this is God himself that David is talking about. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually encampeth round about all those that fear or respect him. And we know that Jesus was present with the shepherds as they went to see him. And so he indeed was encamping about them, even though at the same time he was as a little baby in the manger. So it was indeed angels that were coming to encamp around the shepherds to talk about Jesus, because all fear is dispelled through Jesus Christ. Yes, all fear is always dispelled through him. Now, let me consider this with you about this. The Lord wants us to know in this connection that Jesus came, God himself, came to be born as a baby to identify with us. And this is prophesied beautifully through the whole Old Testament as he appears as a man. For Jesus came to be born as a baby and live as a man on the earth to fully identify with us. And so when Joshua was ready to go into battle, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, came and stood with him as the captain of the host. Oh yeah. When you're going to go to battle, Jesus Christ is the captain of the host of the armies that will come to help you. And we know that as Samson was going to be born, and the angel of the Lord came to appear to Manoah and let him know that Samson would come as a deliverer for Israel to the Philistines. It was the Lord. It was a theophany, a Christophany, Jesus coming. And when Jesus Christ appeared to Abraham, he came as Melchizedek, and also with the two angels in chapter 19 of Genesis to say that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becoming man to actually identify with us began in the Old Testament. And so in this prophetic psalm, we have the angel of the Lord encampeth round about us. And then to announce his birth as a baby, the angels came and shone round about the shepherds. And I just can't help but to see this connection and this nugget in the Word of God to let us know about the power and the beauty of Jesus becoming man to come and share with us. And so they went and saw the baby Jesus in the manger. Now let's look at verse 4 again. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. As we look at the Christmas story, Luke 10:2-10, it says that the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so God delivering from the fear to bring the blessing of the Savior. All fears are always dispelled only and always through Jesus Christ. I must look to him. He's God, and he's the one that can dispel those fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now in verse 6, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now let me tell you, those shepherds were in major trouble all the time, just from their reputation. And I believe God chose them on purpose, and we probably talked about this already this Christmas time, is that they were the abomination of the Egyptians. Did you know that? We're told that in the book of Exodus clearly, that the shepherds were the abomination, were an abomination to the Egyptians. And that reputation didn't get much better through the years. Because as in the days of Jesus, we're told from the Bible commentators that when the shepherds went into a town, the shopkeepers would all close up their shops because they were so afraid they were going to get ripped off. This is the reputation that these guys had. They were considered the lowlife of the time. But oh, the Lord came, and the Lord came to deliver them out of those troubles. Because don't you know that those shepherds could stand tall at the end of that night as they went to see Jesus and they went to see Joseph and Mary, and how their hearts were lifted, that they were important to God. God chose them to announce the birth of his son on the earth and to take him there, to deliver them from all their troubles. God's interested in the smallest of your troubles, the biggest of your troubles. He's there, and he looks upon the lowly and the contrite of heart. And that's a beautiful thing to see. Let's go on and look at verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Boy, I love this one. Their faces were not ashamed. When they saw Jesus there in the manger and the shepherds around them, Joseph and Mary with them, they were enlightened and lifted to such a point, even in their low estate, that their faces were not ashamed. Remember that scripture in Romans chapter 1? It says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 16, thank you, 16, Romans 1, 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And what did they do immediately after seeing Joseph and Mary and the baby? And I'll read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Whoa, even number connection there. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And Luke 2, 16 and 17. They came with haste, and they found the babe in the manger, and they made known abroad. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were lifted. They were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they went out and told them about Jesus and his birth everywhere. The shepherds lifted in their countenance, enlightened by the Lord. And we read these things in this psalm about all of us and about David. Here David is having these things happen to him. And here he's passing these things on prophetically to us. And indeed it happened all those years later, 28 generations later. 14 generations from David to the carrying away of Babylon, and 14 generations from the carrying away to Babylon to Jesus Christ. 28 generations later, it happened to the shepherds. All of these things that are given, that the Lord might impart these things to you, and you might be a promise keeper in the sense of not just keeping promises, but keeping his promises in your heart and in your life and in your mind. As we face this new year, I'm just going to believe God this year. Yeah, just going to believe the Lord this year and all of these wonderful things. And so, again, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Yes. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want at all. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. If there's anything good that God can give you that won't hurt you, he'll do it. And of course, that's the definition of good. Now, we want many things many times that we maybe might want to consume them on our own lusts or use God as Santa Claus to get what I want. But he knows what's best for you. And so his answers to prayers are yes, no, and wait. And all three of them are really good. To wait on the Lord so our strength might be renewed. To not have something because we would consume it on our own lust and it would hurt us. But you see, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Any good thing. The things that are best for us. If he spared not his own son, this is from Romans 8, but delivered him up for us all, how much more will he freely give you all things? Yeah. He will give you anything that won't hurt you. So I figure this way. There's no harm in asking. And he says ask, doesn't he? That you might receive. And so we go ahead and we ask him. And if he says no, Lord, I'm trusting you. You said no. And so it's not good for me or for my family. But if we never ask, you have not because you ask not, then you miss out on what God might want to give you. So you ask him. There's no harm in asking. And then just be willing to accept a no. Willing to accept a wait with a great big smile. Father knows best. And go on your way, right? Don't pine away or get mad at God because he has to say no. He knows it might be bad for you. Might not work for you. I remember that one group a few years back that they were convinced that the Lord had told them there'd be an earthquake in California and they better get to Arizona. You know what happened? They ran to Arizona and there was an earthquake in Arizona. And there never was one in California. A little rebuke there, you know. And so we really got to be waiting on him, right? Because he knows what's going on. And so there it is. Let's go on at reading here. Where'd I stop? Good thing. Yes, good thing, right. The Lord will not withhold any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now we're going to learn about the fear of the Lord right here, what it is. What man is he that desires life and loves many days? Is there someone here that really desires life? You desire life? Yeah. Anybody? Yes. 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Okay, good. Got some hands going after a while. What man is he that desires life and loves many days? You want to live long on this earth? Mm-hmm. That you may see good. It'd be great to see some good, Lord. This is what we're to do. Verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile or deceit. Actually, the definition of the fear of the Lord is given to us also in Proverbs 8:13, and it simply says this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. Now, as we look here in verse 13, knowing that James tells us that the tongue steers the whole body, just like a rudder can steer the whole ship, and the bit and bridle in the horse's mouth can steer the whole horse. So our tongue steers our whole body. Now, as I fear the Lord, I'm going to hate evil. I'm going to eschew evil. That's a different word used in the King James, to eschew evil, turn away from evil. And the way I do that is through my tongue, because the tongue is what steers you. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. My, you know, it's so good of God to give us some simple solutions. Do you like simple solutions? I've always been a simple man. I'm a simple kind of man. Anyway, it just always been that way. And I just want a simple solution, Lord. Well, Mark, it goes right to your tongue. There it is. Boy, if you can keep that thing in order, the whole body will follow. So if I'm quoting scripture to the Lord and for my situations, then I'm going to have this wholesome tongue, which is a tree of life. Proverbs 15. The wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Yes. But you see, if I then take my tongue and I begin to curse at some times and bless at others, then I'm like a fountain with bitter and sweet waters, and that's not of the Lord. I'm quoting from James 3 in these different verses. And so, you know, I just got to watch the tongue. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Okay, how important is this? Say that with me. How important is this? This is so important, this thing about the tongue and steering your body and all, and keeping yourself from evil, which is the fear of the Lord and hating evil, is so important that God doesn't just put it in the Old Testament. He puts it in the New Testament from our great Apostle Peter. And so let's take a look at that. 1 Peter 3:10. 1 Peter 3:10. First Peter 3:10. The Apostle Peter is actually quoting from this psalm, and he says this: "He that will love life," man, if you really want to love life and not be saying every day, "Man, I wish this life was over. I wish I was dead. I wish I was never born." Things like that come out of people's mouths all the time. "But he that will love life and see good days," actually looking for the Lord. I love what Pastor Chuck says, and sometimes I forget about it, but I always love it when I remember it again. He says that when you get up in the morning, when he gets up in the morning, he says, "Lord, bless me today. Just bless me today, Lord. I'm just going to look for your blessings." And sometimes we forget that. I sure do. But "for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile or deceit. Let him eschew evil," there's that word I mentioned earlier, turn away from evil, "and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." We have a choice every day. Are we going to wake up and say, "Lord, I'm desolate," which goes completely against the word of God? "Lord, have you brought me out here to die? Lord, you're not being very good to me. Lord, maybe other people are blessed, but I'm sure not." Those things are not good things to say. No, because that will lead us to that pit of despond. But it says, "Let him refrain his tongue from evil." That means that you have to do something. You have to decide that you're not going to go with the evil thought that the devil is free to put there. Oh, yeah. the fiery darts of the wicked one are thoughts that the devil put in your mind. You got a choice whether to go with it or not. And you just go, no. No, the Lord is good. He's got a plan for today. It doesn't look well in certain areas, but I know it is good. It is well with my soul. And you begin to love life and see the good days because you're refraining your tongue from evil and your lips, that they speak no deceit or guile, like Dathan did in the wilderness against the Lord and against Moses. Oh, this, your God's going to save you. He's brought you out here to die. And that's what many of them that fell in the wilderness and never made the promised land began to just say, you brought us out here to die. I want to go back to Egypt, where we had leeks and fish and things were good. Oh, no. But Joshua and Caleb were different. They said, let's go take the land the Lord's given us. Let's go to the promised land. Where's the promised land? Right here in the Word of God. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And all these things are what you're going to see in heaven, because they're all about Jesus Christ, for He is the Spirit of prophecy. Yes, He is. And so the Lord wants you to enjoy these things now and see good days and to love life. I'll never forget, I think I probably shared this a lot before, but our doctor was the same doctor that was the doctor of Josh and Amy, my son and daughter-in-law. And of course, they've had their ups and downs, and most of you know about that, so it wasn't all the time like this. But it was such a blessing that when I went to see my doctor, he said to me, what a pleasure to have Josh and Amy in here. These two really love life. And I went and thought immediately these scriptures. Yeah. And all of us that fear Him and respect Him and accept His decisions for us. Yes. You can love life and see good days. Yeah. No matter what's happened to you. All of us have our problems. We could all complain. You know, I could really get up here and complain to you. I mean, I really could. I'm sick, I don't feel good, all that stuff, you know. But no, I'm feeling great right now because I'm preaching. I'll just feel bad later. It says that he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no deceit. Oh, yeah. Do you remember that disciple, Nathaniel? It's under a tree, and Andrew came and got him and brought him to Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathaniel coming and said, ah, Nathaniel, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. How do you know me, Lord? I saw you when you were under the tree. You are the Christ, he said. He said, you say I'm the Christ just because of that? Man, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, which makes him Jacob's ladder. The angels descending and descending upon him. That Jacob's ladder that reaches from the earth to the heavens, that unifying vehicle that gets us to God. Jacob's ladder, the Lord Jesus, as the angels, you would see the angels ascending and descending upon his very self, the Son of Man. But the thing is, as Jesus knew and saw in Nathanael, a man of no guile, and that's what I want. And that's what you want, amen? Keep your lips from speaking guile. Don't allow yourself to get bitter. Just get in the mode of forgiveness. Get in the mode of looking to Jesus all the time and accepting His promises, and speak, refrain your tongue from speaking the evil and your lips speaking guile, to see good days and to love life. Just love life. And this is what God would have for you. We shouldn't be looking for the coming of Jesus because we hate this life. And I hate life right now. I just want Jesus to come. Not a good place to be. Lord, you're using me. I've got problems. But God, I've seen your Spirit upon me. And when I prayed, you brought me peace. And I love life. Lord, I love your life. And whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to serve you, God. That's where we should be. And with anticipation of His coming to settle all the things here upon the earth that aren't right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we love life and look for good days in the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's go back to Psalm 34. We have a couple more thoughts here in this psalm. Psalm 34. And now we go on and it says, depart from evil, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit, a humble spirit, a broken heart before the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, the first thing I want to say here before we look at some things about affliction is this, that the reason that God sends afflictions is to keep us contrite before him. Did you notice the blessing of contriteness before the Lord? To have a soft heart before the Lord, a broken heart before the Lord? It says in verse 18, the Lord is near, near unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. And then verse 19, to put it together in context, many are the afflictions of the righteous. If it wasn't for God's guardianhood over us and actually bringing things into our lives to guide us and to keep us from getting into a real dangerous place, it's afflictions many times, to keep us in a place of contriteness. That's what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 so clearly. He says that a thorn in the flesh was given him. Why? So that through the multitude of his revelations, he would not be lifted up in pride. And so there was a thorn in the flesh given to him. That was an affliction. But it put that boundary on him. Sherry and I just read the most marvelous little book, and she's going to get it for the library. Mike Mottlemog has it. It's dated 1819. And it's about a couple of little kids. And these kids were told not to go on the other side of the hedge. There was a hedge along the side of their road that they were not to go on the other side of. They were told that by their parents. But they couldn't see over the hedge to see what was on the other side. So the brother one day had a naughty thought. This is the way it's put in the book. He had a naughty thought that he wants to see what's on the other side of the hedge. And so he decided he would stuff his little sister through the hedge. Do you know the story? Yeah. And he would stuff his little sister through the hedge. And so he made pulled back the thorns and things, you know, as far as he could. And he said, now you crawl in there. And she said, brother, brother, I can't go any further. It's too, it's getting too crowded for me to get through. And so he just was so wanting to see the other side of that hedge, he grabbed her feet and pushed her against the thorns. And then she started to cry. And he pulled her out real fast. And she had thorn punctures all over her face and even in her eyes, a couple of them. And he just, of course, was brokenhearted over that. And then got his little sister home and all. And then the parents, after a while, wanted to tell him about the other side of that hedge. And they found that on the other side of the hedge was a great cliff that fell straight down. And the dad told him a true story about how a couple of kids died by falling into that ditch. Both of them fell in and died. And so that day, the Lord, through the thorns, and you think of the crown of thorns on his head, sacrifice he made for us to keep us hedged in, to put a hedge about us, to make sure that we don't get into the pit and die in a destructive way. Such a powerful little book written for kids. And so when it's in the library, we'll try to remember and let you know that's there. But the thing is this, is that, see, these afflictions, many times, you see, are to keep that hedge in place. That was an affliction for that little girl to have thorns in her face and to bring her brother to shame and to keep them from going past the hedge. But you see, to get past the hedge was destruction, the hedge of the Lord. And so the Lord will hedge us in. Now I want to give you scripture on this. Let's go to Psalm 119. First of all, 67 in Psalm 119, 67 says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. Boy, is that ever huge verse, huh? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word. Verse 71 of the same psalm. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me. And so there's the truth of it. And there's the power of it, and it's the reality of it. That's why when you ask, how come so many afflictions? It's that beautiful hedge that God has made on that straight and narrow road to keep you from going off the precipice, keep you from falling off the cliff. He will keep us in line and help us with our walk, and he's so good to do that. Of course, Peter talks about this also in 1 Peter 1. And why don't we look at those scriptures? I know they're so very familiar, but let's just take a look at 1 Peter 1, 5 through 7. We're told here that we're kept or guarded by the power of God. It's a wonderful thing to know. Once you accept Christ in your life and you turn your life over to Him, He's going to guard you and He's going to keep you. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials. Now, right now, you're just in a season of manifold trials. That, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so He keeps us many times, and He guards us with that hedge of protection known as trials, known as afflictions, to keep us in the right spot. And it is marvelous to know that He cares that much to go ahead and do that. The old pride would come in like a chain around our necks. Psalm 73. The wicked have pride like a chain around their necks. And we don't want to go there. And so God helps us with that. And God will bring that thorn in the flesh. He will bring that thing to keep us unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I thank God for His faithfulness there, don't you? Yes, we do. And so let's go back now and finish this psalm. Now, Psalm 34. We'll read verse 19 again and that wonderful last part of it about being delivered, for God is our deliverer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. This is a prophetic word about Jesus Christ. Not one of his bones was broken. The Lord Jesus, they would break the legs of the
folks on the cross to make them die sooner, because if they don't have strong legs, they can't lift themselves to breathe and they die sooner. So when they wanted to take the two thieves on the cross and Jesus down from the cross after 6 hours of suffering, they went to break their legs. But Jesus was already dead. And so not one bone of his was broken, thus fulfilling this prophecy about him in Psalm 34. And the Lord wants you to know that he is your protector and he will be watching over you in such a way. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You will not be brought to desolation. Just ending, Sherry and I were watching the Ten Commandments again when we were snowed in. That's one of the great things we got to do, is watch the Ten Commandments. And watching that movie, and in that movie, you notice that the Pharaoh says, "Let the name of Moses be stricken from every obelisk, from every pillar, from every hall." And so, you know, you see this place that Moses is going to be brought to desolation. His name would disappear from history. Ha, 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 ha. And now today, everybody in the world knows who Moses is. Moses! Moses! The righteous will not be desolate. But where's the Pharaoh? Nobody even knows which Pharaoh it was. As you study the history of it and you look into the all the commentaries, what Pharaoh actually was it when Moses was around and when Joseph was around? And they don't know. They guess. And they make up all kinds of ins and outs of, you know, why it was named this, and it must have been 1400. No, it's 1200. It was a different dynasty. No, it could have been that dynasty, but maybe. You know, so this is, and so where's the Pharaoh that was involved? Who knows? El Gano. But Moses, Moses. And so the very opposite of what they wanted to happen, happened. Let's read that verse again and we'll end. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. No way, no how. You make a difference in this world. Each one of you makes a difference. Vow in your mind and your heart. Don't make vows, right? Just say in your mind and your heart before the Lord, Lord, make me or help me to make a difference this year for you. And I will not be brought to desolation because your word says it, in the name of the Lord. Amen? Hey, let's stand and pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these great promises, Lord. So many of them, Lord, six biggies right there in this one psalm. Lord, want to pray in Jesus' name that these things would become part of our lives. And Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, if this economy goes way south, Lord, we want to be a bunch of widows from Zarephath, all of us here, Lord. And we just want to join into that spirit of trusting you for every provision, trusting you, Lord, for every good thing. Father, we're in your hands. And Lord, it just feels so good to be rocked in the cradle of your arms, Lord. You're wonderful, Lord. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.